Welcome to the series preview media session edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Today is Friday, March 22nd, 2024. Last night, the media met with pitcher Connor Foley, third baseman Josh Pine, and head coach Jeff Mercer, previewing the opening of Big Ten play.
Josh, you can talk a little bit about just have you seen your the hitters being pitched differently as the season progresses, and what adjustments have you guys made?
Yeah, I think a little bit, and I think that was a little bit of the struggle after the first couple of weeks is guys started doing better scouting reports, seeing what our weaknesses were, and we were kind of falling into the trap, not really staying with our approach on fastball time, you know, hammering the fastballs, the leverage count fastballs. And so it's just been this week, it's just been getting back to the same old, you know, hammer the fastballs when we're in a leverage count, don't miss it, and just move guys around.
Seems like that drill you guys were just doing there at the end is probably a little bit premeditated on that, where you guys are just trying to hit line drives. It looks like, what goes into a drill like that, and does adding maybe a little bit of a competition aspect make it a little bit more fun?
Yeah, absolutely. That was actually my first time, all of our first time doing that drill. They made it up and brought it over from Wright State when the coaches got here, and I loved it. You know, it's competitive. You have to do the right things. You have to stay in the middle of the field and hit a ball on the line. And so, yeah, I really, really enjoyed that.
Connor, what goes behind not shaving the head going for buzz cut?
Yeah, just being like three or four, probably like, what, how many, six or seven other guys probably. No. Can't. I mean, I ain't got the hairline for that.
Are they making fun of you for not shaving?
Yeah, but it don't faze me. It's all right.
Josh, I heard you're kind of the ringleader of it. Are you trying to get in his ear a little bit?
He said he didn't want to, so I'm not going to force him. He knows I'm not happy about it. But
it's I'm not going to force him to. Connor, do you think it's a thing where it's more like hitters versus pitchers doing it, or is it just case by case?
It was pretty well everyone did it except for, what, two hitters and, like, there were three pitchers probably.
One pitcher. Well, all the pitchers did.
No, Grant.
two pitchers didn't do it.
Yeah.
But all the pitchers did. They were all for it.
What was it that made you go, let's shave our heads?
Well, we were sitting in the locker room after a loss, and it was just, I just looked at Stad and was like, we got to change something up. You want to go in there and shave the head? He's like, I'll do it if you do it. And so we were like, all right, let's go. We just went and did it. And you know, just kind of, it just brought different energy and kind of changed the mojo a little bit. And, you know, I'm not regretting anything.
How instantaneous was the rest of the team kind of following along on it?
It was like, well, I'll do it if you do it. And then he was like, and Nick was like, I'll do it if you guys do it. And so it was like, we just kept stacking. And then once about, you know, 10 or 15 did it, more guys just was like, all right, let's go do it.
What were the coaches' reactions when they saw it?
They thought it was funny, but they loved it. They loved it.
Are you trying to get them to shave their heads? And
I don't think most of them can afford to. I think if they shave their head, they're not getting their hair back. That's up to them.
New helmet? Does it still fit?
It does. Well, the headband helps. I've been wearing the headband because the hat and the helmet are a little big. They are a little big, I will say.
Is it a little bit colder now, too?
It is. It was something. I've always had long hair, and so it was something completely new, completely foreign to me. And it is. It was an adjustment.
You know, you're cutting off all the long hair, maybe losing a little weight from that. Are you running quicker on the bases?
I think so. Absolutely.
Okay. Do you have more of a green light now?
I would like to think I had the green light before, but yeah, absolutely.
What'd your parents say?
They loved it. My dad's bald anyways. he can't really say too much about that one.
Everyone go to the same barber shop, or you kind of?
We did it. We all shaved each other's hair in there, actually. So Stad was actually the first one to go, and I shaved Stad's head, and vice versa, he shaved mine.
So who would be the best barber on the team?
Probably Morgan.
I heard Moffitt's pretty good.
I don't know if I trust him. He's around my head. I don't think so.
Was the trust that you just didn't want anybody shaving your head?
I mean, I'll be bald for when I'm 50. Like, I'd rather keep my hair right now while I still have it.
Not
about the Illinois series.
Not talking about the hair. It's just Big Ten play starting up. Yeah. What's the mindset for you guys?
You know, it's Merch just said it best. It's our league, and you know, it's a completely different season when you get into conference play, and so it's just bear down and go take care of it, and you know, play for each other, and we'll be where we want to be when season's over.
Yeah, building off what he said, like, just get off to the right start is very crucial to our success and our goal of winning the Big Ten. So it starts this weekend, and we'll hope to – we've got to play one game at a time, win one at a time, but goal is to win it, and that's what we're going to start off right now.
Connor, how do you think you guys can kind of find some consistency and maybe earning more results?
Yeah, we had a really good work week as a pitching staff this week. We're having some meetings, like just talking about usages, like what hitters are sitting on, and we're just trying to figure out kind of what works for us, and we're gonna get it rolling here soon.
Kind of the same way Josh talked about maybe getting pitched differently. Are you guys seeing some other lineups take a little bit different approaches to you guys now?
Yeah, obviously, like he said, there's scouting reports and whatnot for all of our guys, and like for me individually, like, they're going to be on fastball timing, so I got to be better at mixing it up in the zone earlier and more often. So just kind of doing that, and same way for the rest of the staff, will give us some success.
Coach mentioned a little bit about you having the freedom to call some of your own pitches. Can you kind of talk through that, how that process works?
Yeah. So, I mean, like last year as freshman, didn't really have like a second or third pitch to go to. And now that I do, I do want to use those as much as I can. Obviously, the fastball is my best pitch, and I'm going to stick to it in a majority of the time. But just having those other pitches, like, I like to shake to them. Just reading the hitter swing sometimes, I'm like, all right, well, he's late or early, so I might switch it up just based on what I think. Obviously, Coach Glant, I trust him and the catcher a lot of the times too. So, but it just kind of goes into what I want to throw. It's like the conviction of the pitch. So.
So, Coach, if you kind of take a look at the games that have been played so far, if you look at the first seven, you guys pretty much hit your goal actually in every game of keeping the opposing team under seven. Yeah. And since then, you've only done that one time. Yeah. Is there a specific thing kind of why that time frame, why things swung to run prevention going downhill over that period?
Sure. I think a couple of things. The big one is it's just that we haven't played as good a defense, and so you get away from being able to practice every day and get away from your routine, your defensive routines, and you're gone for 3 or 4 weeks in a row, and you just kind of get out of what you're accustomed to, and so one play here and one play there, and you know you just the level of teams that we've played against, you're not able to make those kind of mistakes realistically and expect to not to do damage. And then I would think the second piece. The week there where we got off schedule was hurtful in that, where you had some opportunities there. Probably a couple of those games don't go that way if you're able to be more lined up on the mound. And, you know, it doesn't, you look at the Indiana State game, for instance, you know, make 3 or 4 errors and we lose a fly ball in the sun. And if we take care of the ball, we're probably at or about that number for that. So you look at some of the defensive miscues, and then you look at kind of getting backed up with your game schedule on the mound, and it's kind of a recipe for not success, the opposite of success. So just getting back, you know, practice back-to-back days this week is a big deal, and trying to get lined up on the mound and take care of the ball at a higher clip, which we've shown the ability to do. We just haven't done it as well as of late. And get the pitchers lined up, kind of try to get guys in the right spots and find the roles for them that they're better at. And some of that's just trial and error. Some of that's you got to find the right spot for guys, get them in there, and then get them back out. And try to find a good matchup the next guy. So I would say that probably those couple of things have allowed some of those scores to get sideways. And some days the wind's blown out, and it's just a tough day. So, yeah, we pitched it well against good teams, and our pitching also goes hand in hand with when we were playing really good defense. So that those two things together, I think, would give us a chance to have more success with it.
So you feel you can get back to that then?
Yeah, we can get back to it. You know, it's a long season, and I know everyone says that, but it really is. And you look at it over hopefully a 60-game span, and okay, so the last 10 games or so haven't been the way that we wanted them. The first 7 or 8 games were, and so hopefully the next 10 games we start to regulate and get back into our normal swings things. So it's not that we're incapable. We have some youth on the mound, which is always a thing that you're going to have to fight your way through, and I guess are adding guys to the mix. You know, ADP has been a lot better, and Barjic has shown a couple of nice settings in a row. So let's start to add some guys to the mix and start to stabilize a little bit, find out what guys' roles are. But yeah, there's nothing that says that we can't get back to playing that kind of baseball again. And I expect us to. Hopefully it's starting tomorrow, but at some point we will. We better get back to it.
I think Josh was talking about the offensive focus being kind of just getting back to fastball timing. And then talking about that drill at the end there, he said that it was the first time that he had done that drill. Yeah. Why now to implement that one?
Well, you're home for a couple of days. We used to do it a lot. And you just, as a coach, a lot of times it's just kind of feel. And you're just kind of, you wanted to have a little bit of fun with them, and we were able to get our drill work in. You know, when you're in the preseason, and you know, a lot of the things that were the concerns that we talked about early in the season, right? Going into the season, you're worried about our defense to the middle of the diamond, right? And we did a really good job early, and then those things kind of started to show their head a little bit, right? And then you look at, I thought we had depth on the mound, but I wasn't sure how many guys we have that would be in that A group, right? And so that's kind of started to show its way through as well. So when you're in the preseason, you can run it like boot camp every day, and you get your drill working every day. You don't necessarily need some of those things to break up the monotony as much, just because you're able to work every day. So now we got our drill work in the last 2 days. Monday was a good off day for them. They got to get their work in. And so then by the end of the day, it's like, all right, we got all the work, all the things done that I wanted to get done. And so now let's have a little bit of fun and go compete a little bit and just kind of break it loose. And I'm good at running my mouth, so I wanted to show them that my strengths and more than just the X's and O's. So no, just have a little bit of fun, break it up a little bit. We got all of our work in, kind of a good ending to the week, and hopefully they had a good time with it.
How important do you think is implementing some sort of competition aspect? It just kind of keeps things loose when the results maybe are inconsistent, not coming along. How much headway do you think a drill like that can make towards getting back to that?
Well, I think anytime you're working with young people, competition is always good, right? Whether it's, you know, we do a lot of competition stuff, and you know, in the wintertime, we'll do competition stuff in the cages, on the hit tracks, we play a lot of games, we play music. You know, we try to do some situational stuff when we're doing our scrimmages. In the fall, we get to play a couple big scrimmages. So there is competition phase in it. But I think the big part that you want those guys to see is that we invented that game that we just played. And I didn't invent baseball, obviously. Somebody did. And it is a game. And we're allowed to have fun and compete and play. I think sometimes we look at it like it's life and death. And we can get a little bit uptight, and we just need to realize that the same enthusiasm and competitive fire and fun that you have when you're playing that game is the same way you can go and play a baseball game. And like you said, you know, I know the results haven't gone our way the last week or two, but the truth is this is a silly game, and it can go the exact opposite direction, but it won't go that way without that competitive fire, without a little bit of fun, without some enthusiasm. And I think interjecting those things is always a good thing. Have a little bit of feel and know your group a little bit. And when it's time to take your foot off the gas and go have fun, you can do that too.
Speaking of some competition, does anybody, you guys have a March Madness pool? Or if so, who's your team?
It's funny. Cerny was checking his phone between drills today. And usually I would be like, you know, I said, what is going on? Everybody's checking their phones and like, oh, checking their brackets. And he said, let me guess, you don't make a bracket. And I said, no, you're right, I haven't made a bracket. I'll tell you, the last time I made a bracket, and Cerny said, let me guess, it was on pen and paper. I was like, are they not? I guess not. I said, the last time I made a bracket was when I was in high school, and Indiana made the run to the national championship game with Jared Jeffries and all those guys. And I won my bracket, obviously, because I had picked them to make the run, and nobody else did. But I kind of figured I can't beat that. I won't ever do better than that. So I retired at like 17. And that was it for me. So I don't make much of a bracket, but it's, you know, I always enjoy watching the tournament and having fun. And it's good that they do have fun and watch it and have a good time with it.
There was a note in the game notes that Brock Tibbetts is making. He's got 140. Yeah. How much does
don't
he?
Jinx this, okay.
what does he bring to the team? What does he mean to you guys?
He's everything, man. There's a couple guys you look at in your career and you just kind of look at the cliche, like the iron horse, right? Like the guy that shows up every day, it's consistent and a professional. I always tell the story, and Brock always, he rolls his eyes at me, but he's a good sport. I remember when I didn't start Brock this first game. So he was kind of a late addition in the recruiting cycle for us. It was during COVID and we didn't take many guys during it, but it's, high school summer coach was really adamant, and we wanted kind of a fourth or a fifth catcher at the time. He was just like really adamant about the kid, and he was big and raw and physical, so we took him anyway. He had a good offseason, a good winter, upperclassmen were really buzzing about him. And we had had a guy that played last year, played first base. Brock, you know, Brock played third, played left, he caught, he played first a little bit. And he was tough. He was really tough. He was really composed. And we were at Clemson, and we had left guys on base. we weren't having good two-strike approaches, and so finally there was a guy on second, and I told Brock the time before, I was like, if this guy's not able to have a good at-bat, like, just be ready for the next time up. So that same position came up, guy on second base, two outs, and I said, Brock, just go hit. I can't watch this. Go hit. And so Brock goes up. He gets into an 0-2 count. Guy throws him a fastball away, and, like, patented Brock Tibbetts. Like, he shoots a single in the four hole, scores the run. I remember looking at Coach Glant, and I said, like, that dude's going to play tomorrow, and he's going to play every day. And he has. He's literally played every day since. And what Brock brings is a level of professionalism. He's always the same guy. He's very intelligent. He's adaptable. You know, he didn't start this season like his typical self offensively. And so I'm getting some texts, and, you know, I don't talk about the scouts too much, but, hey, how's it going? And I remember just saying, like, he's one of the best players in the country. He'll be just fine. And I know his swing's not where he's supposed to be at, where he wants to be at right now, but he's learned how to catch, and he's still playing first, and he'll be just fine. And now he's hitting 370 and playing great. It's just because he doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. He's always willing to work. He'll always ask questions. And then it's not asking questions to then not make an adjustment just to tell you he cares. It's a question to then go and work on it, and he'll be better tomorrow at what you ask him to work on. And so when you have something like that in the middle of the lineup, he stabilizes, and he's a great role model for the young guys, just like Philip Glasser was for us last year. And you hope that when you have those guys in the program, you hope the young guys can watch and learn, because you don't always have them. You don't always have that kind of a leader and that kind of a elder statesman and a pro to learn from. And we're really fortunate to have Brock and everything he's meant to the program. He's one of the best players to ever play here. And if you look at it, from, like you said, playing, he's played in every game but one in his whole career probably, and been a freshman All-American, and he'll be probably an All-American this year. So to have a player like that is really, really fortunate. But it's because of who he is as a person. He's got a great family, great parents. His dad played college baseball. He's just a pro in every way, and allows him to be an adjustable athlete. And those guys that can adjust, they don't stay down very long.
Kind of sticking with the theme on Brock, talking about both him and Josh, I think they're both closing in on 200 hits. And if they do that, they'd be the first teammate duo here since Shorburn Travis to do that. So kind of that junior class now that they've been so influential for you guys. Kind of what has that class meant to you as you look back on them?
Yeah, you know, it is. It's a first class where you kind of went through the recruiting process, and now they're upperclassmen. And, you know, I remember talking to Josh Pine when he was a junior in high school, and just his enthusiasm, his excitement for coming to Indiana and not to see him as an adult and such an integral part of the program in the last couple of years. You become a little bit nostalgic, especially as you get older. You start to really value those relationships and that sense of loyalty and camaraderie. They've meant everything. They've been through the bad times. They've been through the good times. They've been through the highest moments and some that are forgettable. But you're in it together. And I think that's what you really get is a group. With that group, when you've kind of been through the tough stuff together, you don't fracture, you don't splinter. You stay together, you stay tight. And it's like, hey, we've been through it before. We get through it again. And I'm just really appreciative for that whole group. Him and those two and Carter and Crafty and Holderfield and all those guys have been through it all, and it's nice to be able to sit those guys down and say, okay, what's your thoughts? You know, what would you like to see adjusted? What do you like? What do you not like? Okay, these things are untouchable, but these things are on the table, and to get that feedback, I think it's so important as a coach to keep your finger on the pulse of the group. Obviously, when you're doing well, but more so when you're not, and then to get that feedback is just critically important. And you have a group of guys that you can ask and you can lean on. And you know, I'm not an arrogant person. I'm very open to change and adjustment. And so to have a group that you actually trust and believe in and say, okay, what do you think? What do we do next? How do we adjust? I think those things are all vital to success. And it's a great compliment to them and their families to be such well-rounded kids, as they're all men now. You think of them as kids, but they're grown men now. We're just very fortunate with those guys.
Ethan Phillips you're calling on him with the ball tomorrow, and you've called on him quite a bit recently. What has he been showing you that has wanted you to put him in so many different roles here?
He's just super pitchable. He's got two fastballs. He lands a breaking ball for a strike. He lands a changeup for a strike. You just feel very calm with him and his ability to manage. You know, he's always one pitch away from double play. He knows how to pitch to that. And so he's able to get you off the ground. And you know, he's able to do a couple times this past weekend. And again, as you're starting to find roles, if you find something that a guy is good at, then you get him back in that position. You allow him to have success consistently, and then you start to work other guys around it. So he holds the run game well. He can get off and field a bunt. He's got two fastballs, which is a really big deal. Today's game, it's just so much more offensive than, you know, I was talking to one of my buddies, he coached a different school last night, and just talking about offense across the country, how old college baseball is with the draft being reduced, and now you have so many hitters in college baseball that didn't used to be here. So having a guy that can manage and get double play ball and all those different things, it's really important. So for him, his stability, his pitchability, his management, he doesn't very often allow innings to get away from him and get big. And he put those things together, and you just got a nice, stable, dutiful, trustworthy arm. And we need that. We need to get off the ground. We need to get, need to have a good start, and get back in the dugout a couple times. You know, get up and get back and sit down quickly, and allow the offense to kind of go to work. And he's given us that several times. And so you try to keep going to that well. If that's what he's going to do with success, then stick with it.
Looking ahead this weekend, you've got Ethan throwing, and so is Connor. Any idea who you're going to have go Sunday?
Whoever's left standing. You know, we have enough. It's our job as coaches to find out who does what, get them in, and get them out. And that's what we've talked a lot about in our coaches meeting, our staff meetings, is get them in and get them out and allow those guys to have success and then build on top of those outings. So I'm not opposed to getting guys in there multiple times on a weekend. Once they kind of catch fire a little bit and get a groove and get it back in there, they're able to get the ball to their hand again. You know, ADP has been a name that's done that. Rushing has done that a couple times. You try with Vogie a little bit, try to get some of those other guys in there, get them in and get them out, hold a field. And so we just need to do that. We can't let a guy overcook and put him in a position where he starts to not have the best stuff. Because we have enough guys that have good enough stuff, just using them in the right order and right succession and get them in and get them out. So it'll be an assortment of guys on Sunday, I'm sure. But I don't look at it to where we're not capable. We just have to be really good as a staff of managing that.
Anything else for Coach?
Real quick, Big Ten play starts this weekend. I think Josh said that you told the group that it's your guys' league. Just kind of going into the league slate now, what's kind of your guys' approach?
You just got to go back trying to win series. You know, if you look at it and you win each series, I always tell the guys, if you win each series, you're going to look up in the last couple of weeks and have a chance to make a run to win the whole thing. And we did that last year, right? We won every series, but the Maryland series going into the last weekend, and you have a chance to win it the last weekend. You know, we won it in 2019. It was kind of the same thing. You win each series. We lost the Illinois series at third place. We only lost one series. You go to the last weekend with a chance to win it, and we pulled it off. So you just got to start to look at it like that. We've had success in the league, and there's some confidence that comes with that. And you're back home. You're back home now for 8 or 10 days. And so you get back, hopefully, in your comfort zone, your drill work, your ability to prepare and have success. So that really is. I don't mean our league in the standpoint that like we're the preemptive favorite. I mean our league in the standpoint of, like, this is what we've prepared for. We've played a really tough non-conference schedule. This is our time to be back, to get our work in and start to take off again, just like we did last year and we've done in the past. So we just need to be able to trust that we have the capabilities of doing that again, and I'm sure that we will.
Big Ten play opens at Bart Kauffman Field as the Hoosiers welcome the Illinois Fighting Illini to Bloomington. That game will be Friday, today, March 22nd, at 6 p.m. See you at the Bart.